If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two here on WEPI Afternoons on an early January Tuesday. That means, Nick Fitzy Stevens, I'm still allowed to say, Ted Johnson, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So you guys, good to see you guys. Good to be here today. I missed all you guys. It was fun to hear you guys on the post game of the other, last game. And I got to hear Dan.
Speaking of that, what are you doing around 1:30 on Sunday night into Monday morning?
I'll be talking to you guys from my car on the way home.
If we fall asleep on the air, can you just call in and tell the producer to just patch you through and you'll take the wheel?
You know what, though? The way this season has unfolded and, the game's importance that they're playing this Sunday night, there will be a lot of people listening, believe it or not, at that time of the morning.
They'll be exiting Gillette either feeling like, hey, this might just be a Super Bowl contender, or exiting Gillette feeling, what the hell just happened and where did my season go?
And those guys better have the dump button ready because I need to haul off.
Absolutely. So, tune in Sunday night after the Patriots-Chargers game, Six Rings post-game show here on WEEI. But, Ted, I wanted to get your opinion real quick on something I think you may have heard Mark Schlereth going off on quarterbacks and how their job isn't really that hard and all these awards shouldn't go right. So you do. Do you agree with him?
Well, we come from the same. He was defending the era of football. He's defending our era.
But also he said, he got his mocking voice out and was like, oh, if the safety is over, do this. If the safety is here, do that. He was mocking quarterbacks like the reads aren't really that hard. Thoughts?
The game has been made simpler and easier and less physical for the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I understand why he might feel that way. Even though he's an offensive guy, you think he'd be defending the quarterbacks more. But he's defending, I think, the era in football in which we played versus the era in football in which they play now.
Right. And then he threw out that quarterbacks wear pink jerseys at practices.
Okay,
I'll trust him late in the week when the bleach gets in the red.
You know what? I'm all for that. Defend the our eras. He talked about 2-a-days and three, and having, practices were hard and guys, it was just a different game. And it was. So I like that he's taking shots at today's players and how soft they are.
All right, Stiz, it's 3 o'clock. It's time for some three-point stances.
319!
It's the three-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got tip scores! Ties it!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Three hosts, each of which presenting their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off on today's three-point stance. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance today. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So I know we're in the midst of the Celtics and the Patriots and everything going on, but it's still the offseason for Major League Baseball. And yes, there's still some big bats out there. There's some money to be spent by the Boston Red Sox. In fact, all their money is still left to be spent because they haven't yet. And we are getting reports that they are still prioritizing Alex Bregman, St. Bregman, to the point that the number may be up to 6 years and $171.5 million. I wanted Alex Bregman back. I'll say that entering the offseason. I kind of wanted him to just keep his contract and stay with it. But at 6 years and $170 million, I do not want Alex Bregman back. He was 31 last year. We had the lowest WAR in 5 years. We saw him get hurt. We saw him fade. We saw his defense struggle at times.
Oh.
I'm not spending $170 million over the next six years for a clubhouse leader.
Yeah, yeah. You are not spending. You personally are not. So why do you care what they are spending?
Because you know how they work, Ted. And if they sign him, that'll be the reason they can't do something else. Make another move down the road because they got to balance all their spreadsheets and their books and everything.
So help me out. 6 years, $170 million. What's that a year?
Just under 30.
Million.
28 and change. Yeah.
So what did we think he should go for? How far?
Oh, I think that's right. It's actually the length that bothers me more
the six
than
years. Okay.
6 years a long time.
Okay.
Did he look old at times last year, Ted?
After the injury.
Okay.
And you're talking about his defensive issues at the beginning of the season for a little bit, and then he cleaned that up. So, I think he was value add to that team last year.
He was value add to that team last year. Will he be value add to the team in 4 years?
I think just as
5 years.
Okay.
6 years.
But you know what? Do we care?
Yes.
We need him for 3 years and then let him go. Who cares?
I don't know. Then I'm just worried the way they look at things. That'll be the reason they can't be active in the 2030
they need
free
to stop
agency.
Thinking that way, though.
Yes. I wish they would just do what a lot of football teams do. Have a budget for dead money. Put a number out there. Every year, we're probably going to pay out $40 million that isn't really well spent.
That's
it's
right.
going to waste it. But you know what? It's on the back end of there was value.
Just in their minds, they get it's a six-year deal. It's really a three-year deal worth $60 million a year. That's how they got to look at it. Sorry.
I'd almost rather do that.
It's a good way to look at it. It's the price of doing business.
But that's why I liked the original contract more that then he opted out of. It was I like a high average annual value on a short-term deal, 3 years, 120. Now all of a sudden he plays one of three, opts out, and you're tacking six more. So really you signed him for 7 years. If you do this deal right now, then you originally signed him at a 7-year, 200-something million-dollar contract.
If it's going to be a $170 over six, plus you add one for 40, that ends up being seven for 210. So he gets $30 million a year. That's actually pretty good negotiating, and decent-ish market value for the Sox, Boris, et al.
So Ted, you want him on this? If this is a real deal.
I say yes because of who have they gotten. That gets you worked up and fired
Nobody.
Up. Nobody.
Bo Bichette's still out there.
It puts more pressure to get
this Red Sox.
Bo knows Boston.
Yeah, I keep dreaming.
Wait, Bo knows Boston. Where did that one come? I've never seen that T-shirt.
I don't know. Maybe you can do it as soon as he signs with the Red Sox. Fitzy, do you want Bregman at 6 and 171.5?
No, I think that's an overpay, but at this point now the Red Sox have painted themselves into a corner, so they kind of have to, Andy.
Yep. You're right. It feels like they do this all the time.
Want and need are two different things.
This
is what they do all the time.
They're going to be...
we lost out on John Lester. Let's sign John Lackey. Great.
How about just do the first thing that you think is a bad idea? I think history shows that if you did the first thing instead of the last thing, you'd make out better. Like Mookie Betts, sign him. Then don't sign Devers on the back end. Let Devers go. Do the first thing, not the...
Hit Xander Bogaerts up early. Sign him to the 6 and 150 that would have gotten it done. Don't let San Diego swoop in for 11 and 280, which you then laugh at, and you let him go someplace where his stats fall off a cliff and he's not half as popular.
So you're telling me re-sign players that are fan favorites, re-sign players who people already bought jerseys and jerseys for instead of just bringing in somebody else?
Yes, that seems like a positive strategy. Also,
don't they got $320 million burning in their pockets right now because of the money they saved on Devers? Don't they have to...
Well, in theory, but Dan Ball likes to tell me, oh, the extensions that took over, and that eats up some of that money.
Okay, instead of the voice, I'll tell you what the real information actually is. They have about, so they're right around the first threshold. They have about $20 million to spend before they get to the second tax threshold, which is the thing that we were told that they simply will not go above
right.
for whatever reason.
And then the other issue I have is inconsistency. I think we can all come to grips with rules if we know what the rules are, right? Like, if you're going to have a consistent... So I was told, not by them, but through reporters, they couldn't get Pete Alonso. Why? He was too old, right? Isn't Bregman
old? By the way, this just in. He's not as old as Alex Bregman.
Right. So how
or Wilson Contreras.
Or Wilson. So they
or
couldn't
the majority of Major League pitch.
They couldn't spend $5 and $150 for Pete Alonso, who everybody thought was the perfect fit, right? Home runs, right side. Wife
Stop
is
making
from Quincy.
Sense, Andy. It doesn't work for the Red Sox.
And then we're going to sign somebody older for more money after we traded for somebody older. And, like, they are infuriating. Mm. I get that we are passionate in Boston, and that's a good thing. But the passion shouldn't be fury. It should be fun and fanaticism.
And don't you think, to just add to it, it's just you see what Toronto's doing, you see what the Orioles are doing, and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
Like, you kidding me? Like, I mean, if they weren't as active as they were, I wouldn't feel as bad. But, you know, these are two teams that – theoretically, you should be outspending them and when it comes to free agencies that are kicking your ass in that department, and you're doing nothing.
And we were going to build on the momentum of a wild card series and a play. You know what I have envisioned? I have envisioned WEEI Afternoons, fingers crossed, in August at Fenway Park, talking to Alex Cora for a fourth or fifth place baseball team that really, they might sell us, oh, we're only five games back of this or something. Yep. That's what I worry about, is that you're falling much, you didn't springboard forward, you're falling back to the same old, same
old. You're gonna miss those summer nights when we all went as a show to just watch, you know, Aaron Judge hit home runs. And
Because you know what? It was cute when Aaron Judge hit home runs because I was seeing history against a good baseball team that I thought was going to make the play.
Right.
When he does it against a crappy baseball team, I'm just going to be pissed. It's more reason to be pissed.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Andy, don't forget, too, what did you say a few moments ago? Red Sox and Boston fans are what? Are passionate, right?
Yes.
Don't forget, that aspect is viewed as leverage by the Red Sox. You're gonna go. Just don't forget it. I'm not saying it's something that you shouldn't have, because it is something that Boston sports fans inherently have, and it's one of the. It's I would argue that the passion here is greater than any other sports city in America. But don't forget that Red Sox wise, that is viewed as leverage and a way to make money. Just don't.
They
I'm just saying.
They weaponize your fandom against you, Dan. They literally hold it over your head, like, oh, what are you guys gonna do? Stop coming to Fenway if we don't spend as much money on the team as you want us to. Come on. They're like drug dealers at this point. Well, that's probably not going to go over very well, but too bad.
Hey, why is Ken coming down the hallway, and why does he want to talk to Fitzy during the next break?
Andy, to bounce back on your original question, 6 for what, 170?
1.5.
I would not take Bregman at that number, and I still don't believe it's legitimate. I'm sure Scott Boras wants that number to be real and has his friends in the media that are propagating that.
Yeah.
I don't think Alex Bregman's legitimate market is 6 years. I think it's closer to four.
Well, don't you think, Ted, you're a Bregman guy.
Yeah.
If 6 and 171 was on the table, why hasn't it been signed, sealed, delivered? Why hasn't he had a press conference? Why hasn't he been, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't that seem like the offer he wants?
Yep.
Wow, so it does feel like there might be a little BS Boris kind of crap going on here.
Oh, yeah. Have we heard him linked to any other team? Detroit makes the most sense.
No, there was just that there was that weekend that Arizona flirted with him via Twitter, and that was about as far as we could go with it.
Did I hear that's where he makes his home?
Off-season home, Scottsdale.
Okay. Yeah.
He's not going there. I would call this bluff. I'd say, listen, pull a Belichick. Didn't he like to, like... force people take it now or it won't be here later.
Oh, yeah, and then you come back and you get a lesser offer than what you got before.
Breslow, do that. Bresbot, do that. Yeah. Be like, here it is. I'll give you 4 and 140. 4 and 130.
120 is an even $30 million.
Okay, 4 and 120 is on the table, Alex. It will be off the table 90 minutes from now.
I just don't understand.
Treat him like
how you don't
Edelman
take
or something. This is nuts.
Right.
I don't know how you stand.
Because unless he's just doing the full trust in Boras and it'll work out, although he could be one of these guys, the Montgomerys and others, that you end up being the case study of it doesn't always work out.
Right.
And now you're playing somewhere you don't really want to play on a deal you don't really like, and the Red Sox are,
I think if I had to guess, just knowing him like I know him from covering him in Houston, he loves this environment. He loves the profile of this team. He loves Alex Cora. He loves playing in a town that cares as much as the Red Sox fans care. I think he wants to play here above anywhere else. That's my feeling.
So just if they reach a deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm done. Right. Rant over.
Good stuff, though, man.
I've also landed on the Red Sox and the Yankees are fully building their team based on the impending lockout in Major League Baseball.
I hate that, too.
And they won't. I wish we got whispers of that so we just – that would maybe help me put some of this stuff in better perspective.
Just putting two pieces together, which is the lockout is expected after the end of this year, and the Red Sox now all of a sudden are beholden to only signing one-year deals.
But don't you think the Red Sox are trying to outsmart what is going to happen? They want to predict, and so that they want to be, when the time comes, they can tell everybody, see how smart we were?
Right.
We saw this coming, and we made the deals that were going to protect us from getting hurt from this.
I think the Red Sox and trying to outsmart everybody go together in the same sentence quite well. But we'll put a pin in that one for now because, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, I ask you, are you ready?
Time for my 60.
Time for your 60, which begins right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, ladies and gentle fans, I would like to courteously welcome you to Scapegoat Season, where the trappings, misgivings, and failures of one and many a football teams are often blamed on one single or two people who are most likely not to blame for that particular team's failures. The latest in a long line after, of course, Black Monday, which saw the dismissals of Pete Carroll, kind of warranted, Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, reasonably warranted, Raheem Morris down in Atlanta, not quite as warranted. Kevin Stefanski, definitely not warranted, considering how messy ownership is in Cleveland and meddling the Haslam family happens to be. Today, I'd like to point to the dismissals of defensive coordinator Witt and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury in Washington. Why? Because obviously Cliff Kingsbury is the reason why Jaden Daniels was only able to play four games this year and why Terry McLaurin only played half a season following a long, protracted contract dispute. Perhaps Cliff Kingsbury will land on his feet elsewhere, but to say Cliff Kingsbury, who was the hottest name in football last year, is the reason why Washington crapped the bed this year, is stupid. But that's just scapegoat season.
Yeah,
is that what you're hearing? That he was the reason that he's the scapegoat? Or are we just assuming that because he was fired?
I think Fitzy's assuming that. I actually assume something else. I actually assume there's a story here. Was he already negotiating with teams? Was his focus on other jobs?
He's got 1 year left on his deal, and it's supposedly Andy is a mutual parting of ways. He's not the only scapegoat, but the fact that he started coming under fire this year when he had to deal with no McLaurin, no Austin Eckler, 4 out of 17 games for Jaden Daniels, and that elbow injury that will always live in my nightmares is just like more proof that it's the what have you done for me lately. Raheem Morris, hey, Arthur Blank, here's a hug. Blank is his last name, everyone. I'm not making a joke. Hey, and they give him a hug, and next thing you know, you're fired. Kevin Stefanski, I still think the Stefanski thing, I know we got into the coaches yesterday. I thought Ted would have a lot of thoughts on this as well. The Stefanski thing blows my mind. Yeah, he authorized 5 years and 230 guaranteed for Deshaun Watson coming off of all the allegations in Houston. Eventually, he was going to have to be the guy that had to pay the toll for all of their bad decisions and cash misgivings as well. It's just one time after another, somebody has to be the guy to take the fall for someone else's bad decisions or injuries.
I think, Fitzy, it feels like to me sometimes they do it just for the fan base. You know, like some people would say,
a pound of flesh, you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think, you know, last year, was it fair that they fired, you know, our guy, you know,
Mayo,
right? Some people would say, oh, you give him one. He only had 1 year, but the fan, I think a lot of times these guys get fired, these coordinators, to appease the fans.
Sure.
And the media.
And head coaches too. And I think it can be, I actually said this, you bring up Mayo. It was unfair.
And head coaches,
it was unfair to fire Mayo. It was also the right thing to do to fire Mayo, right? Can both of those be, you know what I mean? They can both be true.
Yeah.
And I think Stefanski's in the same boat, personally. It's probably unfair, Fitzy, you're right. The Deshaun Watson thing, you don't have a quarterback. But he's also had a losing record 3 of the last 4 years and, you know, 3 wins last year, 5. Like, at some
point,
you just
gotta move
on. Did
he forget how to be coach of the year, though?
I think he's overrated. But I just think he's been there 6 years. Like, how long do you get?
And I want to put one more thing. What do you guys think of? I feel like Cliff Kingsbury has a little bit of Lane Kiffin in him. I think he loves to hop around.
Yes.
And move around and try and get a better deal somewhere.
Yes.
Cliff just seems like a guy that is never happy where he's at and is always looking for the next big deal.
And that's
once he looks at that mirror to admire how handsome he is, then once he looks past that, he looks for this next opportunity.
Didn't I hear Cliff? Did he have like a big portrait of himself in his house or something?
Does he really?
I think he did a little bit of the.
He wears
Alex
shoes
Rodriguez.
That are worth more than Marcus Jones' salary.
So. Remember that photo that went viral from the COVID draft when he was in his living room and it's this lavish house in
all
Arizona?
White.
And he's got this like crazy backyard and all. I think Cliff loves himself.
Oh, he's the coolest guy he knows.
Absolutely.
It's not even close.
Fine.
I also
bury me in that yard. I don't get it.
And that doesn't seem to jive with Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn doesn't seem like.
Dude, he wears his hat backwards.
I was going to say, he looks like he might manage a Buffalo Wild Wings or
coach. He's one step away from wearing a visor.
Right. And he's a defensive guy. And like, I could see those two not really being just aligned philosophically, like personally, like what they prioritize. But this is, and Stiz, we were talking about this off air, this is part of the cautionary tale that the Patriots should pay attention to. When you have a shot, when you've put yourself in position, go for it. Because I'm sure the Commanders thought, all was great. We're in the NFC title game. We got a young quarterback. And then the next year, they're kind of going the Houston route, right? Bobby Slowick was a star, and then Bobby Slowick was out. Now you have Cliff Kingsbury out after he had made
Super Bowl or bust.
Now, and Aberflus got canned, but he deserved it. Aberflus deserved it.
Better get it now. Well, you got the chance. Yeah. And get to Ted Johnson's three-point stance while we have the chance. Teddy, are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, here is 60 seconds.
This is going to be a real quick one. This is from the little audio from this last Week 18 Cowboys versus Giants game. Go ahead, Stiz.
Throws and it's intercepted by Okereke. Down he goes at the 33.
Oh, that would be Joe Milton throwing an interception in this last game. And I just thought now that the season's over and we can recap some of the worst takes of 2025, that anybody who thought that Joe Milton was better than Drake May, we do have our boss. I don't want to say his name, but
Ken Laird.
Okay, you said it. Thought that that was one of the worst trades, maybe in Boston sports history, up there with the Babe Ruth trade when they traded away Joe Milton. A lot of people thought that, but Joe Milton last year versus the Bills when he was a Patriot, 22-for-29, 241 yards, a touchdown, and a 111 rating. This year versus the Giants in the last game of the season, 7-for-13. One interception and a 38.3 rating. I think the Patriots got it right at the end of the day when it comes to who was the better quarterback and who should be shipped off and whatnot. So, Joe Milton. They dodged a bullet. That one.
All right, so if we're doing the mea culpas, Ken didn't do a mea culpa. You kind of did it for him. Okay, he had a hot take. It was too hot to handle kind of take. We also had discussions about the way this happened. They trade Joe Milton. They had to, clear the runway for Drake May.
Yep. I had no problem with it.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? A lot of people didn't.
It was giving somebody something rather than going the earn it competition route, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever my arguments were, they were wrong because Drake May went out and had basically a perfect season. Basically could not have developed better. Our guy Brian Hoyer, who we'll talk to next, said he made like a 4-year jump in 1 year. Yep. Anyone who thought it was bad to trade him, regardless of whether you thought Milton was good or not, if you thought it was bad to trade him, you were wrong.
You know what? We were wrong to not trust Vrabel.
Correct.
We didn't trust him. Are you sure you don't want to bench Ramondre for fumbling? Are you sure?
Nope.
You sure you don't want to punish him?
What about Peppers? You tell me Jabril Peppers can't help this football
team?
There
you go.
Kyle Duggar, all these. Why are you getting rid of all the cap?
On and on.
David Andrews sat front row at your press conference. Yeah. You're going to get rid of him?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Yeah. And you know what? It's the right move. So, yes, we all owe your boy Vrabel a big sorry late in the year. That's going to do it for our three-point stances today. Up next, as I mentioned, we had to bump him up a little bit here, an hour, actually. Brian Hoyer, from former Patriots quarterback. He's got his own podcast. You see him on NBC Sports Boston. We're going to ask him about Drake May, the playoffs, the offense, everything Patriots heading into this huge playoff game Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. Brian Hoyer next. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free.
If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons and straight to the guest line for our weekly chat or post-holiday edition of our weekly chats with Brian Hoyer. Mr. Hoyer, how are we doing today?
I'm great. Happy New Year, fellas. Great to be with you guys again.
Good holiday?
Yeah, it was great. Great. I mean, what's there to complain about? A bunch of Patriots wins, some got a little snow, so we had a snowy Christmas. It was great.
Was your New Year's resolution to not swear on the radio this year?
No, I made that resolution a long time ago when I found out that you're not allowed to.
It would be.
I don't want to get fined. I made it 15 years in the NFL without getting fined. I'm not trying to start now.
So you obviously know you're a podcaster. You're in the media, the whole thing. The story of the week around here, beyond the Patriots making the playoffs. We'll get to the game and the big game. But everybody's breaking down early in the week the MVP because the votes are in. Drake May should be, you know, one of the top two candidates. Do you think Drake May is going to win the MVP?
You know what? I'm torn because I think that he should. Do I think that he will? I don't know. I think there's a campaign going around for Stafford. And let me put it this way. I love Matthew Stafford, class of 09, still going strong. And I believe he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think that he needs to win MVP this year to be a Hall of Famer, but I feel like there's a narrative out there that is trying to push it for that. But when I think of who's more valuable to their team, to me, it's got to be Drake May. I mean, he was on a team that won four games last year, and I think if you take Drake May off the Patriots, I don't think they have as nearly the same result. But I think if and this is people are going to think I'm crazy for this, but if Jimmy Garoppolo plays for the Rams with the people they have around him, they're not winning as many games as they are with Stafford, but they're not going to be bad either.
Yeah, I feel like I could talk to you about this all day. I'm fascinated kind of by this this race here, and I'm, you know what, just to go further on that. I mean, Drake May, the argument. I was listening to Arcan last night, Brian. He was talking about he doesn't put a lot of stock into the players that Stafford plays with versus the players that Drake May plays with. He thinks that's overblown. He thinks the players that Drake plays with are really good receivers and then skill receivers. And I disagree. I think that should matter and should be a factor when you're looking at the MVP race. Do you Do you look at the guys that Drake is playing with and go, you know what, he's elevated. Those are all good players, but he's elevating those guys where I think feels like Matt, to me, has, you know, excellent already skill position players that he doesn't need to raise the level. They're already great players. Do you agree with that sentiment or no?
Yeah, Ted, I agree with you. I think if people are going to throw out the schedule argument, then you have to also say, okay, if he's playing if Stafford's in a, you know, quote unquote tougher schedule, he's also playing with quote unquote better players. Devontae Adams, arguably a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Puka Nacua, I don't know if anybody would say that there's a better receiver in the league right now. And I love the receiver group and the tight end group and the skill group that Drake is playing. It's really done by committee. And Drake does a phenomenal job of spreading that ball around. Now, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but I read something about a guy who was scouting Drake May and said went back to his high school years. And when he was a high school junior, I believe, he would grab the stat sheet at halftime to see who wasn't getting the ball and made sure that they got him in the second half. And it's such an unselfish quality. And I think that's part of what you consider when you're voting for that award. I mean, look, the reality is – Drake May is going to have a long career ahead of him. If he doesn't win it this year, will he win it in the future? I don't know. Never, no year is never the same. This has been a magical season for him, and he's very well deserving. I don't think that the fact that Stafford is towards the end of his career and hasn't won it yet should be a factor. I think you look at what's gone on this year. I think that there's a lot of arguments for both guys. And ultimately, if I was voting, I think I would vote for Drake May, just because I look at the turnaround that's happened. No one expected this. Look, on your show, way before the season started, people called me crazy for saying that I thought the ceiling was 12 games. Well, they've surpassed that by two. And a lot of that has to do with the way that the guys played quarterback.
So, Brian, going forward with the notion of the growth and development of Drake May in his second season under Vrabel and McDaniels, what is your favorite thing or what growth element of his second season are you most impressed by?
Man, there's so many things you could choose from, but I think for me, it's going to be the comfort level that he has gotten to in this system so quickly. I mean, getting into the right plays. I go back to I haven't spoken to you guys since the Jets game, but the touchdown pass to Ramondre Stevenson, you know, having played in that system and just the ease of bringing the back in, making sure you get the right protection call so you know that you can get the back matched up on the defensive end when they blitz, and then the effortless throw. And I think the scary thing, I think, for the rest of the league is you have a surgical precision passer at quarterback that also has the athleticism to pull it down and hurt you with his legs. And, you know, we saw it in the Buffalo game, some design quarterback runs for touchdowns. Like, that factor has to give opposing defensive coordinators nightmares, because they're like, all right, well, if we want to cover the guys, now we have to worry about, you know, accounting for Drake's legs too. And to me, the ability to not force the runs, I think he lets it come to him. That's a rare quality for these guys to have.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. And Brian, a lot of people, and I think I was included in that group, said, oh, this is a good matchup for the Patriots. This is a good draw of the teams that they could have faced. And then I start looking and I'm like, huh, did I know that the Chargers defense has the lowest opposing passer rating in the NFL? Did I know they had 19 interceptions? What do you think about this matchup for Drake May and the Patriots and the offense specifically going against that talented Chargers defense?
Yeah, I think they kind of get forgotten about because you think of the Chargers, you think of Justin Herbert, you think of Jim Harbaugh, you think of the offense, right? And the one thing I would say is the first thing I wrote in my notes is, you know, how do the Patriots win this game? Offensively, you have to know where Derwin James is on every single play. He is a game wrecker. He can sack the quarterback, strip sacks. He can pick the ball off. He can cover in man coverage. I think Jesse Minter has done a tremendous job with that unit. And I think if I'm not wrong, they play zone defense almost more than any other team in the entire league. And so what they're trying to do is to see, can you have a precision passing attack against their zone defense, drive the length of the field and score in the red area? It's like they're daring you to see if you mess up before they do. And so I think the one thing that Drake has proven is when he gets the ball in his hands to throw it, he's going to be efficient. Obviously, you know, franchise record in completion percentage and in only a second year. So in a lot of weird ways, this kind of lines up similarly to 2018 when we played the Chargers in the first round, in the sense that defense that we went against in that Chargers game, they were almost played all zone. And I think what you're going to see is a game plan where Drake is getting the ball out of his hands on time early, try to tire out their defensive pass rush by being precision passing, take what they give you, move the ball down the field, and then get the running game going. That was a big thing for us on that Super Bowl run, was the late season shift to the running game. I love what I've seen the past few weeks in the running game. Mondre is playing probably the best football of his career, and you pair that with Henderson, and he's able to add that explosiveness to it. I think they got to keep that balance this weekend.
It's such a good point you bring up, Brian. You think about that 2018 season, you know, it kind of at the end of November, early December, you're losing to Pittsburgh, and you're starting to, this team's – and then the last two games, you guys play the Jets and I think the Dolphins, and it was like the offense clicked and the running game clicked. And so that's a great kind of parallel that you draw there. I'm curious more about what you think of Justin Herbert. You know, he's – the offense for the Chargers kind of looks, in a lot of the metrics, just average to a little bit below average, but they're – they're third in third down conversions. I mean, they keep the chains moving with their third down offense. He gets sacked a lot. He has to scramble a lot. Just your thoughts on Justin Herbert and that offense for the Chargers.
Yeah, I think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think, early on people asked me, who would you compare Drake May to? I said, I think he's somewhere in between Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Now it's established now Drake May is Drake May. There's no comparison, but I think his skill set is somewhere in between those two guys. I think Herbert, very similarly to Drake, is athletic enough to run the football if he has to. But he wants to hang in there and be a drop back passer, and he can throw it all over the field. Now the thing for him this year that sucked is the offensive line has just been decimated by injury. And so he's back there, but he's tough as nails. I mean, the guy had surgery on his left hand and is playing 7 days later. And so he got some rest last week. They didn't play him. But he's definitely one of those guys that I remember going out to play him the first time we were, I was on the Patriots, he was on the Chargers, and Bill basically gave a 45-minute diatribe about how this was the next Dan Marino. And if you look at statistically, I don't know if there's anybody who compares Herbert in his first however many years as a professional quarterback, has just been such a good passer of the football. Now he's got to stay protected, and I think that'll be, if you want to really rattle the Chargers early, is stop the run, make them pass the ball, and try to pressure him, especially up the middle of the pocket, and then try to contain him. You know that, Ted, with a guy who's as athletic as that, you can't let him get on the edge because he can hurt you by scrambling and throwing or running.
So, Brian, obviously we've been talking about how the Chargers have a better defense than advertised. Mark Schlereth talked about it last hour. Fifth overall in the NFL, fifth on pass, eighth on rush. It's going to be tough, and there's going to have to be somebody else other than the quarterback, someone else not named Drake May, to step up and be a key contributor on Sunday night. Who do you think that unsung hero offensively, or who do you think that certain someone that steps up and has a big game could be for them or needs to be Sunday night?
Well, with the amount of zone that the Chargers play, I think it's got to be the tight end group. I think it's got to be Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. I think they're going to allow you to throw the ball inside with the amount of zone that they play. And I think Drake has to be patient enough to just take what they give him. And then when they go ahead and try to take some of that stuff away, look, Drake has proven that he always has an eye out for those opportunities to take some shots over down the field, whether it's on go balls, posts, whatever it might be. And so I think, the inside of that passing game, so the tight ends, Diggs working on those juke routes, those option routes over the middle. I would even say, when you drop back pass and they all drop out of there, check it down to Mondre, check it down to Henderson, and just take what they give you. You go back and watch that game when we played that Chargers. Now, different scheme, but a lot of zone. Remember, that's when Bosa's like, hold on to the ball, Tom, I'm trying to get here. And Tom's like, I ain't holding on to the ball tonight. Yep. Like, that's what the game plan's got to be.
Brian, when we asked Drake yesterday about playing the biggest game of his life, his career, he said, well, the next one's always the biggest one. He kind of did that thing. And that's cool to do. But the reality is it's a primetime home playoff game, the first time in the postseason. As a quarterback, is it different? Is he going to see a different speed? Is he going to feel a different buzz? Is there any pressure on him? Because, for example, the guy on the other side of the ball, people are already saying, hey, how come Justin Herbert doesn't win playoff games? Like, if you're a quarterback and you don't win in the postseason, it kind of gets attached to you. So what do you think Drake will be feeling as he enters this game?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's a narrative that we spin now that I can say we, I'm in the media. You know, you, as a player, you try to eliminate that. And I think you realize it's a one-game season. All you pour everything you can in this week. And I think the one thing, you know, you asked me before, what's one thing to pinpoint? Like, the most impressive thing to me about Drake from the moment he took over is just the maturity level. And so I think, you know, he believes in his preparation. He believes in the coaching that Josh has given him. I think that's such a good person for him to rely on. Josh has the blueprint. He knows exactly how these games go, and he'll adjust accordingly. So I think he's just got to put his faith in the preparation and the plan and his teammates, and he's done that all year. You understand that the stakes are higher, but the game's still yeah. the game. You do the work during the week, and that leads you to what you're ready to do on Sunday night.
You know, Brian, I'm curious what you think of just the external factors that come into play in the playoffs. For instance, you know, you referenced that playoff game in 2018-19 season that you guys had here at the Patriots, and playing, you know, the Chargers. They had flown out the week before to play the Baltimore Ravens in a physical game, won that game, flew back to the West Coast, and then flew back out to play you guys yeah. in a cold game. I you know, a West Coast team, just think of the travel, the cold yeah. weather. That's got to play a factor, right? I mean, Justin Herbert, his record in cold games is not good. I mean, that does play a part in these games, yes, right?
I think so. I think that's human nature. You've been out in California. It's 70 degrees. Now you got to fly across the country for 5 hours. Now, look, they understand it's one game or go home, too, so you got to put everything it is into it. But I think it is an advantage for the Patriots, because they embrace, you know, going outside. They embrace the cold, and I think that's something you got to lean into. There's no doubt about it.
Brian, if you had to pick, you know, outside of New England, knowing that what a football guy you are, if you had to yeah. pick a sort of, let's call them a watch out for that team in either conference, but especially the AFC, who would that team be?
I think it's in the AFC, it's the Texans. I just, that defense, I watch and I'm like, I don't want to play against those guys. Me personally, my time's done, but I watch the ferociousness that they play with. It's crazy. And I think CJ Stroud, after that injury, he watched Davis Mills kind of go out and execute the offense. I think the way Nick Cayley wanted, and he has an understanding of what they're trying to accomplish. That's a team to me that is one to watch out for. And then in the NFC, I mean, maybe this is a cop out, but I watched that Seattle San Francisco game. I think that's a Legion of Boom too. And ultimately that's the matchup I'm hoping to see in the Super Bowl, is a rematch of that famous Super Bowl, Patriots and Seahawks.
Hey, real quick, Brian, what's your thoughts on Sam Darnold? I mean, some days he looks great, some days not so. What's your overall take on him?
Yeah, man, he's a true gunslinger, right? And I think he has a short memory, clearly. He goes yeah. out and just lets it rip. I think getting that big win in Week 18 over the 49ers, it's kind of getting over that hump of winning that crucial game. And it's a team sport, and so he can lean on that defense, because that's an elite defense a little bit. Let it, you know, lean on the running game. But, you know, Ted, all it takes is one game at a time right now. If he yep. has a tremendous three-game stretch, they're going to be there in the Super Bowl.
Brian, before we get your prediction, I wanted to give equal time, because earlier in the show we talked to Mark Schlereth, former offensive lineman, and he was voicing his displeasure with the fact that the Heisman Trophy and MVPs always go to quarterbacks. He went on a rant about the position's not that hard. Everybody says it's hard. It's not that hard. You read the safety and you throw, depending on whether. As a quarterback, from your perspective, what are your thoughts on the fact that all those awards have just become quarterback awards? Is the quarterback position easier than we think it is, or harder than we think it is?
It's harder. And when I try to explain things to people, I did a segment with Phil Perry, and I think I broke his brain trying to describe how there's coverage reads and there's progression reads, and you have to deal with progressions and protections and all of those things. Look, the reality is, and we've seen this year after year, it's very hard to win at that level if you don't have a above average quarterback. That's just the reality. Everything is on their plate. Now, there's been great, you know, non-skill players that I look at Joe Tooney. I mean, this guy may go down as one of the greatest players of all time. I mean, every year
never missed the playoffs.
On a division. Yeah. And it's just, it's insane. And so like a guy like that comes to mind, of someone who may be able to, or willing to be able to be considered for that role. But ultimately it's always going to be a quarterback award, because if you don't have the quarterback, it's just too hard to win consistently in this league.
All right, before we let you go, what's going to happen Sunday night?
I think it's Patriots win. I'm going to say 35-28.
Ooh, high scoring. A little bit of a shootout. I like it.
So.
Ooh, I like it.
But that's what I want. I mean, as a fan, as a media person, I don't want to watch a 17-10 win. That's boring. Let's see some points.
You don't think Drake's ready for this mentally, right? I mean, he's never played in a game.
So.
Yeah, he that doesn't concern you, right? His poise or his nerves, right?
No, not at all. I think he's shown the maturity. He has the confidence. I think, if anything, the last several weeks, even some of the throws I've seen with even more confidence now than it was at the beginning of the year. So I think he's ready.
All right, Brian, enjoy the big weekend of football, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks Brian.
That's former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. Quarterback is harder than you think it is, Mark Schlereth. How you like dem apples, offensive line guy?
Somewhere between 8 and 11 games.
Yeah, he tried to fluff up his win total in there.
He did.
He threw a 12 in there. I was like,
of 12.
I thought 11. He said 12 too, but he said 11.
It was 11. Okay. He tried to get closer to the real number.
Yeah.
He still doesn't get that it was the range that people were annoyed with more than the actual high-end
and
number.
And he's still wrong, no matter what.
That is true.
Somewhere between 8 and 11 games.
I thought he said 12.
No, but it was 11. Taylor Kyles was 13, and they were all wrong. Nobody picked 14 wins, but... here we are. We do need to react to a couple things he said, sort of breaking down the game and how it could play out on Sunday night. And then top of the hour, 4 o'clock, it's time for a TED Talk. Patriots, Dolphins, break that down and how it relates to the postseason. All that and more up next here on WEEI.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back here in WEEI Afternoons, we just talked to Brian Hoyer, former Patriots quarterback, passionate Drake May supporter, but also, and we were just talking about this during the break, it's a little annoying that everybody seems to like Matthew Stafford.
Everybody loves Matthew Stafford. Yeah, he's the nicest guy. I'm going to vote for him. He's a nice guy. Couldn't
you
say
know who
a bad
doesn't
word.
Like him that much?
The
photographer he knocked off the stage at the Super Bowl rally a couple years ago.
That is right. Plus, his wife, she's a podcaster. She stepped in it at one point, didn't she? A couple different times politically.
During COVID, she kind of did, yeah.
And then she also stepped in it when she said she banged the backup quarterback or something just to make him jealous. Stafford's wife.
Kelly Stafford.
No way.
Yeah, she told a story on one of those, like, girls talking with girls podcasts about in college. They kind of broke up, and so she started hooking up with the backup to make him jealous.
Wow.
And probably something I would leave. If, even if it happened, just I don't know that you need to.
All of the internet was like, what the hell?
Right. Yes, Dan Ball?
Spoke about, dating Matthew Stafford's backup quarterback at Georgia to make him jealous, a story that went viral and led her to apologize to former quarterback Joe Cox, clarifying he wasn't the person he dated. He wasn't the person she dated, but a good friend, sparking online blah, blah, blah.
How about apologize
to Matthew?
Yeah, how about the Matthew, man?
Yeah, that's a misplaced apology.
Wow.
Your husband, who has helped you lead a very nice life over the last 15 years.
Does she have a little Jordan in? I mean, she's in a lot of the commercials that Matthew Stafford is in. You know,
I didn't see that comp coming.
Huh?
I like her.
She just got out over her skis once or twice.
Teddy, speaking of Jordan, she was she's making moves on Twitter today.
I saw what you sent me. That's fantastic.
Put me in, coach.
That little little sidestep she's got. Man,
I feel like the words in that sentence could be changed around.
You got to see her on Twitter. What Stiz is referencing. She's explosive in high heels. Jeez. It's incredible, man.
All right, coming up next year on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for some football talk, a TED Talk. Patriots 38, Dolphins 10. A lot of good things in that game. What does it mean for the postseason? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.